You have managed to somehow, and this is what I want to really tap into today, mm-hmm. you have managed to come from that working class civil servant background. How did Cedric get from that kid playing on the street, hanging out with his friends, and being raised by he probably never missed a meal, but wasn't no extravagant vacations, or how do you get to be a millionaire?
Welcome to season 8 of Black Family Table Talk. We are your hosts, Tony and Tony. Join us on our journey to discover ways to build a strong black family.
Do you want to buy a home someday, or a new car, or maybe just pay a lower interest rate on your credit card? All that starts with your credit score. Everybody has financial goals. That's why it's important to start building your credit now. You know who can help you with that? Fannie Mae. Check out fanniemae.com/credit education for info and tips on building your credit. Find out why it's never too early or too late to improve your credit. Get info on the best ways to use credit cards and what not to do. And learn how taking some small steps right now can add up to big opportunities in your future. Some of you may think home ownership is an impossible goal, but once you start building your credit, you could be surprised by what can happen. So take a look at fanniemae.com/credit education. That's fanniemae.com/credit education. And give yourself some credit. You deserve it. Black Family Table Talk. I am your host, Tony Henson, my better half, Antonio Henson. Actually had a business meeting today, so you just got me.
Hey, you're more than enough.
Thank you. I hope so. He's so good at this. But I am so happy to have you. Cedric Nash. You know, I was going over your background, and I have to assume you're an Oakland native. You were born and raised in Oakland.
You know, I'm actually born south of Oakland in a little town called Carmel and raised in a little town called Seaside right outside of Carmel. But I spent a lot of time in Oakland.
I'm going to assume, but I'm going to ask, did you start with humble beginnings?
I did. I really did. My parents were... My dad, I talk about this in my book, that my grandfather and my dad were sharecroppers in North Carolina. And my mom had an eighth grade education and stopped school to work. But then they got married and my dad was drafted in the military. And that's what sent them to California when he was in the military. And that's what got us to California. So, and then, you know, he went on to get an associate's degree and was working on his bachelor's degree, but he was in the military reserves and working at the as a correctional officer at Soledad Prison. And it was just too much to balance it all. So he finished his associates and he just, you know, worked for the state of California for 25 years. So we were considered just kind of regular middle class, lower middle class black folks in a great community.
And I think that that's where a lot of us, where we are now, have come from. Yes. But you have managed to somehow, and this is what I want to really tap into today, mm-hmm. you have managed to come from that working class civil servant background, which is exactly what I came from. My father was a cop in Newark. My mother was a correction officer. Mm-hmm. How did Cedric get from that kid playing on the street, hanging out with his friends, and being raised he probably never missed a meal, but wasn't no extravagant vacations, or how do you get to be a millionaire? But I want you to walk me through, because I know it's a mindset. You know, you're educated, you've got a bachelor's degree and a master's, an MBA. But how do you get from that? Because that's what I think our listeners really want to understand.
That is a great question. I love the way that you asked that question. A lot of it has to do with the fact that I had 3 to 4 millionaire mentors in my community, 3 of which were black and 1 which was white. And so they shaped my mindset. But in addition to that, my parents already had a certain amount of money values, and they had a certain mindset, which was pivotal into my own mindset. And so it's interesting because in my book that's coming out on January 17th, it's titled Why Should White Guys Have All the Wealth and How You Can Become a Millionaire Starting from the Bottom. It's really not about what you do. You know, what you do with money is important. But the problem is you can't be consistent long enough in order to build wealth if you don't have the right mindset and the right value set around money. And so my parents instilled a certain amount of values around money, which was not wasteful and not boastful, right? And my mentors created a blueprint for what building wealth was. And that was through the accumulation of assets in terms of one of my mentors, Al Glover, my famous mentor, Al Glover. He was an alpha. The reason why I pledged alpha, he owned office buildings. He owned laundromats. He actually started a bank in my community. Another one of my mentors, Robert Taylor, was not as he was very quiet, but he owned, you know, land in wine country, and he owned apartment buildings, and he just kept buying real estate constantly. And then another one of my mentors while I was out of college, Mr. Bruce, owned an old motel and a sandwich shop, and he ended up getting into multifamily properties. So these guys kind of created a vision for what building and accumulating assets was all about. And as a result of hanging around them and being inspired by them, it made me want it. And so from the days that I graduated from college, I was determined to get it. And that's what happened.
I get it. And I guess what I'm going to do now is talk about being stuck. Because I'm not a millionaire. We're not millionaires. We don't want for anything, but we're not millionaires. And we got those degrees. We were determined, you know, the 1980s buppies, we were going to be millionaires.
Yep, I did. Yeah.
And we were, we got kids. We got student loans we had to pay back. But one thing that I heard throughout your story about your mentors was the investment in real estate and understanding real estate. Is that the secret sauce or because it's nowadays, and I'm going to just make this quick comment and I'm going to let you answer, was nowadays people are not pursuing, or young folks are not pursuing anything but followers, thinking that is what's going to get them to wealth. So what's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference is you're absolutely right. Young people are searching for quick riches. And the reality is real estate is a long-term game. And you got to get started early. So real estate was key. I mean, I bought my first piece of property right out of college. You know, I was consulting for a doctor putting in his network and actually putting in his medical systems. He was a plastic surgeon, Dr. Sal. And I made $25 an hour, and I saved that money to buy my first condo right out of college. So I came out of college from a college apartment into my own condo. But it was really the, you know, when I lived with Mr. Bruce he hurt his back working at a prison, and he was just a janitor. But when he hurt his back, he was forced to retire, and he became a very avid stock investor. So when I decided to live with Mr. Bruce my last year in college, because, and these are stories I talk about in my book, because I heard about him and I just wanted to learn from him. That's just how my mindset was. So I lived in the basement of his. He had a nice basement apartment. I lived there, and I'd wake up in the morning. I'd go say, you know, goodbye to Mr. and Mrs. Bruce before I go away to college. Mr. Bruce would be in the bed with a cigarette in one hand, the Wall Street Journal in the other, Money Talk television on, and Money Talk news going on. All this going on, right? And he's like, and, you know, he used to joke around with me a lot. But what was interesting was that he never said, Cedric, you need to read the Wall Street Journal every day, or you need to watch this channel. It was me seeing it. So then I started reading books in college. The first book I read was How to Be Your Own Stockbroker by Charles Schwab. And I was never one to read a whole bunch of books, but this was a topic that I just loved. So I continue to read that. I happen to even read, The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump. I thought he was a great guy until I recognized who he really is. But the book was incredible, right? So I don't believe in his politics, but I did read the book and it was inspired. And I just kept reading and reading and reading. So by the time I graduated, I was ready to do this thing, right? I was ready to participate the way that my mentors did. So my whole point is that when I came out, I was so intense about it that I was saving every possible penny I could, everything. You know, I got married early out of college, and my wife and I did, you know, we didn't stay together, but we got married out of college, but we were on a tight budget. We would spend $600, or we would spend $400 a week when I came out of college. We'd spend $60 on the weekend and $40 Monday through Friday. I was putting every possible dollar I had available to work by saving and by spending as little as possible. And so what I'm saying is that that mindset of frugality was instilled in me, even though I still am a young Black man and wanted a BMW and nice clothes too. I was doing that as well. But the whole point is that the thing that people have to understand, I put this really in my book, is that you have to be very intentional about every dollar that you spend. And you have to make sure that you're stacking up dollars to go into assets, because it's your assets that make you rich, because your assets over time appreciate and generate income, and then you could be in a situation where you don't have to work for your money because your assets are doing the work. And there are a lot of people, like you mentioned, that, you know, they have kids, they get older, they get used to this kind of lifestyle, but they never stop and say, you know what, I need to put this money aside for my future, I need to put this money aside for my wealth. I need to invest in my wealth. A lot of times people say, oh, invest in yourself, take my seminar. No, you need to invest in your wealth. That's why everything I do on social media, I don't charge people for, because my mentors didn't charge me. I want them to use their money to invest in themselves, not make me richer, and invest into their wealth and not my wealth. So the whole point is that that's really the change that has to happen, is that people have to kind of look at their budget and really hone down and try to fight for every dollar they could put aside so they can invest in assets. And then they have to be patient enough to understand that it takes time. And I know I'm long-winded about this, but yeah. I have a few properties that I've owned for 19 years. One gets paid for 2022. I bought it in 2003. It gets paid for in October 2023. I'm sorry. It had a 20-year fixed mortgage. I paid $360,000 for that property. It's worth $2 million, right? I'm going to rebuild it, turn it into 12 apartment units, a store at the bottom, and a rooftop apartment for myself, because it's real close to New York City. It's in Jersey City, right? So the whole point is like, it's about time. It's about investing the time and being patient. And that's what we have to get. That's a mindset piece that I talk about in my book, about patience versus trying to just make it happen too fast.
That is good stuff. What brings to mind is I have four children. Mm-hmm. And they're all across the spectrum. I have my oldest son is married. They're all in their 20s. My mm-hmm. oldest son is married and he is on his third property. And they are him and his very smart wife, who I'd like to think that he married her because she reminded reminded him of me. But she's very smart. Beautiful brown sister, and I love them together. They are amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I have my daughter, who's a PhD, PhD or ABD, and she's going to be going into life very soon. Then I have my other daughter, who's an architect, who spends everything she makes. Mm-hmm. And she makes good money. She makes more money than I have ever made. But she travels a lot. And I want to say, yes, baby girl, travel. And she lives in a high-rise apartment. And I want to say, what advice do you give to our new generation of folks who are buying, they're not necessarily investing, but they're spending their money on experiences, because experiences are what is in front of us in terms of that's seductive. Everything is seducing the money out of our bank accounts towards experiences. What are you kind of just answered that question, but just give me a little bit more insight. What's the first thing they need to do?
That is exactly what the heart of the challenge is, right? And the thing about it is like social media is having a huge impact on what kids are doing with their money, because they're seeing young people toasting it up at brunch every Sunday. They see, their guys going to clubs, young guys going to clubs and paying $5,000 for like three bottles that cost $60. So these whole experiences thing, you see loads of people going to Tulum unexpectedly, spending loads of money on these experiences because it's creating this perception of lavish lifestyle of wealth. The reality is that they continue to do that, they will never even know what wealth is. They will never do. And they need to really, really think about that. And the funny part is that I have four kids too, three of my own biological and one I raised. And my three sons are incredible with money. And I always wondered, like, they lived with me. I got a divorce from my wife when they were 7 years old, but we always spent weekends together. We always took trips together. And my daughter, I pretty much raised. She was with me since she was 11. And so they're kind of like night and day. She's going to kill me if she hears this, but they're night and day. So my boys are very conscious with their money. They don't buy lavish things. They never went into the Nike things. And they all have savings, significant savings, enough to buy their own house. And they're in their 20s as well. And so it's funny because James Baldwin said something really interesting. He says, children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they've never failed to imitate them. And so what happens is, I wondered how my sons got so good with money. And my son told me this one day, he was driving my old Range Rover till it was like in the ground and he had to buy a car. So he bought a car and I said, so what are you going to buy? You're going to buy yourself a nice little BMW like I did? He says, no, I buy myself like a Toyota or a Honda. I said, wow, that's interesting. You're pretty frugal. Where do you get that from? He says, oh, we were watching you. So I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. What parents show their kids in their own financial journey matters. But what also matters is the kids that they hang out with. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. My son, so even though my daughter was, grew up around me more and saw how I did things, her friends were more lavished and they liked to do the brunches and the traveling. My son's friends were a little bit more conservative in that way. So it's really a combination of two things that they see, what their parents do and what their friends do. The reality is they've got to come to understand that they're not building wealth by spending so much money on these lavish things. And they're really not enjoying themselves as much as they think they are, right? And so, time is going to come down the line when they're ready to buy a house or when they're ready to do some real things or when they're tired of their job or when their job lays them off. And they're going to say, all those $100 brunches could have been, put into a duplex or a fourplex or into a real estate portfolio to where I don't have to work or into the business that I want to create. So I think that as parents, you just have to make them aware of what they're spending. And the final thing I want to say is in my book, I talk about my power budget. I call it my Millionaire Money Moves Power Budget, to where you're trying to save 22 to 30% of your income. I know that sounds a lot, but where we struggle is with our consume, what we consume, the stuff we don't need, right? So that's the vacations, the brunches, the lunches, the dinners, the eating out. That's where we're really struggling. Those are the budget busters that are keeping us from moving forward. And you need to recognize that and understand that if I can't keep these costs down to 15% of my income, and if I'm using credit to basically fund this fund, that after a while, it ain't going to be fun. So, all we can do is bring it to their attention and give them strategies for doing it better.
It's that old nature versus nurture argument, I think, what you're talking about. And what I didn't mention earlier which leads to my next question, is my fourth child is a hustler. He believes that, okay, all of them got educated. Now he's the hustler. He doesn't need college degree. And he's the one I raised, not birth. So we have such a similar background. And he's going to make it. He's on every scheme there is.
Right.
Talk to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have my fourth son is the same way, too. I don't know. Maybe it's he's 24, but he's like, but I convinced him after his first bad year in college to finish his degree. So by May, he should finish his degree, and he's studying marketing. But, you know, he had a kind of a interesting path, but he's locked in now. But, you know, so, but he's also that same guy. He likes, he's got his own little business going. He likes making his own money. So he's very confident. So it's just, you know, there's no everything to anything, right? So you're going to have that with kids, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is Black Family Table Talk. So we want to uncover it all. And I so appreciate your honesty and candor and sharing your own stories. There's a saying that goes, more is caught than taught. And I think you're a prime example of that. So give us the name of your book and give us three takeaways, key takeaways that I can do, our kids can do to have a millionaire mindset.
Okay. Well, the first thing about the book is titled Why Should White Guys Have All the Wealth and How You Can Become a Millionaire Starting from the Bottom. And the three takeaways is that if you want to develop, if you want to become a millionaire, it has a lot to do with what you do with money. But the reality is if you're not consistently doing it, you will not achieve your destination. You will not achieve destination millionaire. What you'll find is millionaires are there because they consistently invest at a high level of intensity. So the three takeaways is you need to invest consistently and intensely. What I mean by that is you can't spend $100 on your Apple stock and $1,000 on Gucci. You got to spend $1,000 on Gucci and $100. You got to spend $1,000 on Apple and $100 on your Gucci stock. You get what I mean? So a high level of investment of money is needed. Because over time, that's what's going to make you wealthy over time is your investment in assets. You know, the other takeaway is to change your mindset. You have to change who you hang out with. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. If you want to soar like eagles, you can't hang with turkeys. So the reality is you've got to hang around those kind of people that are making what I call millionaire money moves. Those people that are investing in real estate, that are investing in the stock market. Because when you hang around those people, you tend to kind of want to do the same kinds of things. And that's what's going to make the difference. And, you know, the third thing is that no matter where you're starting from, no matter what color you are, no matter how much money you make, you know, you could be a millionaire too. All you have to do is put your money in assets that appreciate over time and give you income, and they will do the work for you. I'm proof that that happens. There's more than myself that are proof that that's how it works. I mean, my grandmother from the Bronx, you know, made $200 a month. And worked in a laundry and owned a house in the Bronx that I now own. That house is worth $675,000. She paid $25,000 for. I have three tenants in there that pay the mortgage because my grandfather had a reverse mortgage that I took over. It was paid for, clear and free. But the whole point is that it's just simple. It's just consistent investing over time. That's what makes you rich.
Thank you so much. The name of the book again, and how can people become your mentee by following you.
Right. So the book again is Why Should White Guys Have All the Wealth and How You Can Become a Millionaire Starting from the Bottom. The book is going to release on January 17th, the day after my frat brother Martin Luther King's birthday. It's also going to be on pre-order starting October 25th is when the pre-orders are taken. I also got a Black Wealth Summit coming up that you got to look at. Go to blackwealthsummit.com where I have Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Charles Schwab, UBS, New York Life, Gilead Sciences, Kaiser. I've got loads of sponsors that are there to teach African-Americans how to build wealth starting from the bottom. Regardless of where you are, there's a learning track for you. You got to come check that out. It's going to be in DC. And you can, you know, I'm on social media at Millionaire Money Moves. And I'm going to be kicking off a live starting in October where I will answer your questions for free. I am going to be your free mentor because I want you to use your money to make you rich and not make me richer. So all you got to do is join my IG group and you can come on live. You can answer questions. I've got experience in real estate, entrepreneurship, stocks and bonds, you know, vacation rentals, you know, flipping, you know, lending money to people or lending money. So I cover the whole gamut and I'm there to answer your questions. And if I can't answer it, I'll just tell you straight out, I don't know. And I'll pass you to somebody who does.
Wow. Cedric Nash, you are my hero for the day, maybe for the decade. I absolutely love the information you've given. Thank you. I will certainly sign up to be one of your mentees for sure. Thank you. I don't think it's ever too late because we have to pass generational wealth. That's what the Bible says, onto our children and our children's children. Thank you for being part of Black Family Table Talk. That's it. That's what's
Thank you. And all Black families, bring your family to the Black Wealth Summit. It's going to be, I got Damon John, Ayanna Van Zant, and Angela Yee that are speaking as headliners, and David Gardner from The Motley Fool. We got a small business pitch competition. I'm sorry to keep talking about it, but The Motley Fool Ventures is sponsoring the small business pitch. We're giving money to Black businesses. You know, access to capital is an issue for African Americans. Less than 1% of small businesses get venture capital. We're fixing that. We're having 100 HBCU students that are attending for free in person. Charles Schwab is sponsoring their attendance. We're teaching them how to get on the road to building wealth starting from college. So this is the real deal. This is not all certified Black financial advisors from Morgan Stanley, Charles Schwab, Bank of America, UBS are going to be there to teach you how to build wealth the way that the wealthy does.
Wow. I'm so full. Thank you so much again, Cedric. This has been such a blessing. I can't thank you enough for sharing your time and being one of the unsung heroes in our community.
Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I can come on when the book comes out. It's a deep book. It's not about just, it's about solutions. It's really about solutions.
Well, we will sure to put the links in the show notes so that people can get in your world. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day.
That concludes this week's talk. We hope you found some tools to add to your strong Black family toolbox. And be sure to sign up for a free subscription at blackfamilytabletalk.com for special discounts and product offers reserved exclusively for you.
Don't forget to tell a friend about our weekly podcast and blog, available on Apple Pod, Google, Pandora, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are heard. Under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is abuse permitted by copyright statute that may otherwise be infringing. Views and opinions expressed on Black Family Table Talk do not necessarily reflect various platform hosts. All topics are for entertainment purposes, discretion is strongly advised, and all commentary is alleged. This is a MICA 6-8 Media LLC production.